Welcome back, everybody. It is Thursday. Day late, but it's Thursday, and it is definitely worth it. January 24th, we have a very special guest. He is the co-founder of the LaGrange Wiffle Ball Academy. He's a 2010 Prep Bowl champion, and he is your resident Chicago White Sox blogger for LetMeBeFrankBlog.com. He is none other than Patrick Bovaart. Pat, how are we this evening?
You know, friend, I'm doing pretty good. Only took me 45 minutes to get home from work today, so I'd chalk that up as a good Wednesday.
That's a good day. That's a good day, especially given, you know, the mess we've seen in Chicago this week. Let's just get right into it. You know, it is baseball Hall of Fame season, voting time. Baseball Writers of America get on their soapbox and get to preach and tell you who they think is good and why they think this person is bad, despite having historic numbers. And we are here to cut through the bullshit and talk to you about all the things that you should know and things you should pay attention to. The class of 2019, four total players will enter the hall. Mariano Rivera at the top of the list, receiving 425 of 425 votes. First year, unanimous decision. Roy Halladay next at 363, which is 85.4% of the votes. He was also in on his first year on the ballot. Edgar Martinez at 363, 85.4% of the ballot. It was his 10th year. And Mike Mussina rounds out the class at 326, 76.7%, his sixth year on the ballot. Let's start at the top. Mariano Rivera. I have long said that he is the greatest closer of all time. Do you think that earns him a unanimous vote on his first ballot?
So, you know, I've thought about this a lot. I've kind of wavered back and forth. But overall, I think, you know, when you think about it, Mariano's the best I've ever done it in the ninth inning. He's the best closer of all time.
Mm-hmm.
The stats speak for themselves. I think he should be unanimous, but my thing is, should he have been the first unanimous player? And that's a no. I guess that's his own thing, but if nothing else, at least now one of the other stupid baseball traditions is over and done with, so at least we have that.
Yeah, I mean, this is historic. I forgot to mention it at the top, but he is the first player ever to go in unanimously, and it's kind of fitting that it's a Yankee because of the fact that it seems like all people care about in terms of like the Hall of Fame and history is the Yankees, and that's all the Yankees care about because they've got so many freaking World Series at this point. But I think go ahead.
I was just gonna say it's amazing what happens when you have money.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. The evil empire strikes back. But it's interesting. I think he certainly, it would have been easier to swallow if he were not the first unanimous player. If he were like the third or fourth behind other guys with unbelievable career numbers, it would be easier. But given that he's a closer, given that, you know, it's the first time ever, it just seemed a little odd, especially on with his first year on the ballot.
Yeah, I mean, you know, looking through some names today, I came up with a handful that maybe should have been unanimous before him. Babe Ruth, Ken Griffey, Ty Cobb, Lou Gehrig. You know, there's only a few I can think of, but
all games names synonymous with the game of baseball.
Yeah, like, I mean, this was a long time coming. At least now, well, we don't have to worry about people not getting votes because they couldn't, you know, like, I don't know, Greg Maddux didn't throw 90, so he's not unanimous. We don't have to deal with that anymore.
Exactly. And again, we are talking about the Baseball Writers of America, who are like the stingiest group for no apparent reason other than to get their own name and their own agenda in the news.
Yeah, I mean, like, they've always had those weird things going for them, but I guess, you know, Mariano had the right combination of talent, legacy, and being nice to them, so
That's true.
All does tend to work in favor.
He's the anti-Pete Rose. Roy Halladay and Edgar Martinez are the next two, 363 votes apiece. Roy Halladay, obviously posthumously, as he died last year. I think they're both deserving. I think Edgar was a long time coming. Obviously, it's his 10th year on the ballot. I don't know. I don't want to say this and be rude about it or, you know, insincere, but if Roy Halladay is alive right now, do you think he gets in?
I think it's a lot closer to that 75 threshold. I would tend to go under. I think, you know, again, like you said, not trying to be that guy, but I think that definitely did boost his numbers, the Heath Ledger effect there.
Yeah.
I mean, personally, if I had a ballot, Halladay wouldn't have been on it on his first one. I'm not upset that he's in, but just looking at his numbers, I don't think he had the kind of dominant career that would necessitate a first ballot, like, overwhelming Hall of Fame inauguration.
Yeah, and to be clear, he obviously does have a great resume and all those things, and he's got some of the top accomplishments. I think he's the only player ever to throw a perfect game and a no-hitter in the playoffs, those being separate things, not both in the playoffs. But the Heath Ledger effect is real, and we've seen it time and time again. But let's go through, you mentioned it before, let's go through who you would have voted for had you had a vote. Next year when you have a vote, this is what you'll be casting.
Of course. Well, you know, looking at the guys this year, I took three of the guys that made it on my ballot: Mariano, Edgar Martinez, and Mike Mussina.
Yep.
After those three, I have a couple more names. Barry Bonds. I mean, I don't think there should even be a discussion there, and the fact that he's on not even 60% of the ballot is absurd.
Yeah.
I mean, there's plenty I could talk about that, and I'm sure we'll get into it, but he's moving through my ballot. And Roger Clemens, another, shouldn't even be a discussion. Kurt Schilling, another guy who, you know, maybe some of his Twitter jibes and whatever he does on the media with his conservative BS, maybe hurt him a little bit. Also had Manny Ramirez on there. I think if you look at his numbers compared to some of the other guys, like, he's deserving. And then last guy on my list, Sammy Sosa, which, according to baseball writers, is pretty unfavorable. He only had 8.5%, but I don't know, when you hit 600 home runs and you are one of two guys that saved the sport of baseball when it's dying, I think that deserves a Hall of Fame spot.
Yeah, there are definitely a couple key guys that you hit on, and we'll move on to there. Sorry we didn't give Mike Mussina the shine that he deserved, but hey, he's going into the Hall of Fame anyway, so what does he care about us talking about him? The next four up that just missed: Kurt Schilling, 259, which is 60.9% of the vote. Roger Clemens, 253, 59.5%. Barry Bonds, 251, 59.1%. And Larry Walker, 232 votes, which is 54.6%. I agree with you. I think those top three should have been, at least Clemens and Bonds should have been, like, no doubters, no brainers that they should get in. But, like, I don't know. The steroid era is so weird when it comes to baseball, because it's like, oh, we care about it for some guys, but other guys we don't really care. And then, you know, if they were assholes, oh, now, like, our feelings are hurt and we're going to take it super personally and wait until this guy dies and our grandkid is writing in the Baseball Writers Association of America to vote him in. It's very weird, but dig a little deeper into, you know, what you've seen in the past and what why you think these guys aren't getting in.
I mean, you know, I think you kind of hit the nail on the head, which, because, like, Bonds and Clemens, they were jerks to the media. The writers vote for the Hall of Fame. They don't like them, so they don't get in. They use the steroid era as an excuse, but, I mean, like, the writers aren't going to exactly be the guards at the gates of heaven to get into the Hall of Fame. I mean, we're really going to die on that hill. We got to go back and take out all the guys that did greenies in the 50s and 60s, all the cokeheads from the 80s that are in there. You know, I'm sure we could go back further, anybody that threw spitballs, but we're not going to do that. Just like in a couple of years, David Ortiz is going to get it on his first ballot despite failing a drug test, something Barry Bonds never did. I mean, I've had strong thoughts about this. This was my first article for, let me be frank, back in the day. But, I mean, guys like Barry Bonds saved baseball. That's the reason people watch the game. Baseball didn't put anything about drugs in the rules until about 2004, so they kind of let it go on until they didn't need it anymore. So, I mean, right. If you're telling me that the reason the best hitter and with Clemens the best pitcher of all time aren't in the Hall of Fame is because, like, they may or may not have done performance-enhancing drugs, and which the argument is even doesn't really matter. I mean, it's absurd.
Yeah, and I think the key is, you know, you and I were growing up as this era of baseball was happening, and to be able to go home and watch the home run race, you know, every night you wanted to see who homered, you know, how many did Bonds have, where is he at right now in the season, what's going on with Sosa and McGuire, all that stuff going on. Had that not happened, the entire sport would probably be obsolete. As we're seeing right now, kids aren't as interested in baseball as they were in the past. Just because it's such a slow game, you know, it's stuck in its roots. It's the pastime of America. It's not going to change too much moving forward. But give credit where it's due. Whether it was air quote legal or not, give credit where it's due. Like, these guys are the reason why there's a whole new generation of baseball fans. Why, you know, you might even be able to say why the Bryce Harpers and the Chris Bryants and the, I'll throw Manny Machados of the world, are even baseball players at this point.
I mean, yeah, like, you think about it, like, where are all sports going? Football, you want games that are Rams Chiefs 55-50. Basketball, you want the Warriors putting up 140 a game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you look at Barry Bonds' numbers, it's a friggin' video game. He's got double the WAR of any other player on the ballot.
Yeah.
He's got, obviously, more home runs than anybody of all time. He's almost got 3,000 hits. Like, the Hall of Fame shouldn't be people standing on their soapbox and preaching morality. It's supposed to tell the story of baseball. And, I mean, right now we got the best pitcher of all time, the all-time home run leader, and the best hitter ever. And we have, you know, Pete Rose, the guy that, for very different reasons, the all-time hits leader, not in it because people don't like them. And that's, you know, that's not what the Hall of Fame should be. It should be, right or wrong, whatever they did, it's the best players that have ever played the game.
Absolutely.
Not like, I mean, and now these guys are going to have to get voted in by some participation trophy committee in like 30 years when people finally realize they were being stupid about it now.
Yeah, and this is like an impossible-to-tell hypothetical, but I would like to hear your opinion. If, like, the home run race and the steroid era were going on right now as opposed to 15 years ago, would baseball, like, potentially be up there as the most popular sport in America, you know, with guys hitting 60-plus, 70 home runs a year?
I mean, I think it certainly couldn't hurt. I mean, you know, with all the negative press football is taking, and, you know, I'm a football guy, it hurts me to say that, but...
Purple champ.
I think it would have to be right up there. Like, I mean, you can't... People don't want to sit on their TV and watch a game that takes 3 hours, and they see it's 3-2 and a pitcher's duel with a bunch of double switches and stuff. They want to see guys going up there and hitting bombs out of the park all game. It's a 10-6 game. It's hard to find people under the age of 40 that want to spend a weeknight or a weekend night watching a baseball game on TV. It's just not that fun way baseball is today.
And I guess you can kind of look at the home run derby. Obviously, it's like a spectacle of its own, but you can kind of look at that and say, like, that's usually the most exciting summer event there is in sports, you know, once the summer really gets going in July. And it's because it's just fun to watch, see how far actual human beings can hit the ball and, you know, with what precision and things like that. But this is a whole nother discussion for a different time. Back to the voting in the ballot. Manny, 97 votes, 22.8% in his third year. And you mentioned Sammy Sosa, 36 votes, 8.5% in his seventh year. Is there any hope for these guys? I think Manny more so, but is there any hope for either of them to get in anytime soon?
I think Manny has a chance, maybe, you know, an Edgar Martinez situation around his 10th year on the ballot.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know off the top of my head exactly who's coming up the next few years, but if I remember correctly, next year there's not many big games, and maybe he'll take a jump. I think Manny was one of those guys who rubbed people in the media the wrong way, so he'll be close. Sosa's dead. I mean, his former team doesn't want him to come back. I mean, I guess they're done profiting off of him, so they don't want him. The writers don't like him.
Right.
I mean, he's at 8.5% of 7 years. He's dead. Which is a shame. Like I said, if it's not for him and McGuire in the years at 98,
yeah,
baseball's just—it's not the same as it is right now. It was a dying sport. There was a labor stoppage. Games were getting slower, and that put life back into it. So, I mean, to me, it's just, you know, baseball profits off these guys. They let them do their thing, and then as soon as they're done with them, they crack down on drugs and excommunicate them. It were up to me. Sosa and McGuire would both be in it, but, you know, the impact they had on the game. But McGuire's already off the ballot, and Sosa's going to follow suit pretty soon.
Yeah, there are a bunch of guys that fell off the ballot. We were kind of laughing about a pre-show, but this is the list of guys that did not receive 5%. If you don't get 5%, you're off the ballot. Michael Young, Lance Berkman, Miguel Tejada, Roy Oswalt, Placido Polanco, Rick Ankiel, Jason Bay, Sweaty Freddy Garcia, John Garland, Travis Hafner, Ted Lilly, Derek Lowe, Darren Oliver, Juan Pierre, Vernon Wells, and Kevin Euclid. A lot of these guys I haven't heard in years, like years and years. And to see Michael Young leading that group in voting is just absolutely insane.
I mean, it's crazy. Like, you look at it, Placido Polanco got two freaking votes. Like, what the, like, I don't, with all due respect to the guy, like, who looks at that career and says, you know, this guy, that's a Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
It's like that classic joke of Jock Jones, how many years getting both.
Right.
I mean, like, you know, the White Sox meatball fan in me wants John Garland or Freddie Garcia to get a vote, but, I mean, like, that shouldn't happen. None of these guys should be getting votes. And the fact that they're getting votes and Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens aren't really making any progress to getting in is just a testament to how stupid this whole process is.
So I would love to see just reveal the people that voted for those guys, the guys that are off Young, Berkman, Tejada, Oswalt, and Polanco, and see where it overlapped. Like, did any of them vote for Sosa? Did any of them vote for Gary Sheffield? Did any of them vote for Billy Wagner? Did any vote for Manny Ramirez? Any of those guys, and just see what their criteria is. Because if you're voting for a guy like Placido Polanco and you're not voting for Barry Bonds, there is something majorly wrong with you.
Yeah, I mean, that's another reason. I've been a proponent of for years, all ballots should be public. People should know who they're voting for. I mean, like, you got people casting votes for these people, and, like, yet somebody like Dan Le Batard, I mean, thoughts about him aside, sells his ballot, lets people vote on it, and he's kicked out, but the guy that's freaking writing down Placido Polanco and, like, I don't, like, Miguel Tejada, they're fine. They get, like, that's totally cool.
Yeah, and you referenced it earlier. The first thing you ever wrote for us was fixing the All-Star ballot, I believe, or the voting process. If you want to dig into that, just tell the people a couple different things. Obviously, one of the big cornerstones of your idea was making all ballots public.
Yeah, I mean, I think that would go a long way. Like, I mean, it's accountability. I mean, people, like, right. I saw some stat today. I can't remember it off the top of my head. It was on Twitter, so obviously I scrolled by it within 30 seconds, but people who had public ballots voted for Bonds and Clemens, I think it was over 65%, and people who had private ballots did not reveal it were, like, around 40. So obviously, there's something going on here where the people who don't want to reveal their votes are the people taking that are dying on these hills of morality that, they like, it's not their job to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's frustrating.
Yeah, the I mean, you can kind of see it in, like, the college football and basketball AP polls. Everyone's held accountable now because it's all public information, and people just get shit on all day. Why do we not do that for something way more significant?
Like, you know, it's mind-boggling that, I guess, you know, baseball being the old sport does have this relationship from the media where, you know, it was all buddy-buddy with guys back in the day. Like, there's, for some reason, baseball has this role of being, like, our, like you said, our national pastime. It's this heritage game, father and son playing catch out in the field of dreams. Like, and yet, so when somebody does something that the media doesn't like, all of a sudden it's their job to be the judge, jury, and executioner.
Right.
And, of course, they do it anonymously, which, you know, I mean, kudos to them for being so courageous, really.
Mm-hmm.
Love to see people taking stands like that in 2019.
God, they're heroes. They're true heroes.
I don't know how they do it.
Looking at the remaining list, who do you think are guys that are capable of getting in next year? I think that the one that really pops off immediately is Larry Walker. But other than you'd think Bonds and Clemens have to have a better shot, right? And Schilling.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think Schilling is, I feel like eventually he's going to get in. His relationship with the media is another tough one. You know, I mean, he's kind of gone a little bit out there with some of his statements the last few years. But, like, I mean, you look at his numbers. He has more wins than Holiday. His WAR is right between Holiday and Mussina.
Mm-hmm.
His ERA is the same. He's got 1,000 more strikeouts than Roy Holiday. Like, if you are, you're going to vote those guys, then he's got to be there.
The bloody
and
sock.
You mentioned earlier, yeah, like, I mean, what, that's the whole intangible that baseball writers seem to love, like the whole clutch gene coming in and pitching through the paint. But
yeah.
And then, like you said, Larry Walker, I was on the fence about him. I think next year he might have a good shot at getting in. He's still 20% from that 75% threshold, but he's going to have that 10th year effect, maybe like an Edgar Martinez, where people realize, like, oh, wait, maybe we should have voted for this guy a few years ago, and then
yeah,
the floodgates open, which is another thing. If you didn't vote for a guy in years 1 through 9,
why are you voting for him in year 10?
Year 10?
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't make sense either, but outside of those two, I mean, I look at this list, I don't think any of these other guys are going to be getting in next year. I think Manny's going to make hopefully some progress. Omar Vizquel, I guess, for some reason, is probably going to get close to that, even though, like, other than longevity, really.
He had a very average
career. Shouldn't be that high. Yeah, like,
he was great defensively, but other than that.
Yeah, you know, he's good defensively, and he played in almost 3,000 games, but, like, you know, his average, all it says, like, his WAR is well below a lot of the other guys that are much lower than him on the list, like a Todd Helton or a Gary Sheffield.
Yeah.
So, I don't see anybody else on this list really making creeping up a bunch next season.
Is Manny the guy that's going to make the biggest jump, you think?
I think it depends on how the media handles it. I would hope so, of all these guys, because I think he'd be my safest bet to make a big jump, unless you count Larry Walker going from 54 to 75. But,
right.
I mean, looking below Manny, I mean, you got Jeff Kent at 18. I don't think he's going anywhere. Scott Rowland, 17. You got, for some active god, Billy Wagner, almost 17% of the vote. I don't think he's going anywhere. So I think Manny, outside of potentially Larry Walker, is going to make the biggest jump.
It's good to see Andrew with the U Jones getting some shine, part of those great Braves teams back in the day.
Another former White Sox on this list.
There's a lot of former White Sox.
I mean, going down the list, we got Omar Vizquel, who's now a minor league manager for the team. You got Manny, the notorious half season where he had, I think, one extra base hit in Chicago. You got a whole Sammy Sosa, former White Sox. Maybe that's why I like him so much.
That would make sense.
Yeah. You know, speaking of the White Sox, as a fan of those mid-2000s teams, it does warm my heart to see Travis Hafner getting up votes on there.
it really is a nice run back through history and, like, your childhood, essentially, reading some of these names and thinking, oh, God, I remember that guy. He did this, that, or the other in a big game. Like, Scott Rowland brings back terrible memories because he was always on those really good Cardinals teams with Jim Edmonds and all those other guys, and it was just so frustrating to watch him play. But then, like, Andrew Jones, the Jones brothers, him and Chipper, down in Atlanta, just guys like that.
Yeah. So, you know, it's always great seeing those names. Like, Placido Polanco, who, for some reason, my only memory of him is from the 2006 World Series, snowing in, St. Louis or Detroit?
Yeah.
Wherever they were playing. You got, like, Kevin Youkilis, the key midseason acquisition by the 2012 White Sox before the collapse in Robin Ventura's rookie season as a manager. Just a whole bunch of names. Like, Juan Pierre, former Chicago alumni of both teams. So
Vernon Wells, just out in L.A., hanging out with the Angels.
Yeah, you know, it's
him and Garrett Anderson.
Yeah, back Garrett Anderson, the 2003 Home Run Derby champion.
Yeah.
No, it's, like you said, warms the heart seeing these names.
Yeah, I mean, that is the 2019 Baseball Hall of Fame ballot. Any final notes or thoughts before we let you go here, Pat?
I think we've kind of gotten everywhere with it. You know, some of these guys not getting votes are ridiculous, especially while we got, like, Billy Wagner and Placido Polanco getting votes cut. I mean, clearly the system is broken. There needs to be changes. People need to be held accountable. People need to stop thinking they're, like, St. Peter at the gates for this stuff.
Yeah.
And they need to start treating it as the Hall of Fame and not the Hall of Very Good Guys that we liked covering when they were playing. You know, it's...
Mm-hmm.
I feel like the public consensus is heading that way, but for some reason we're still not quite getting there on the ballot. So here's to making a little bit more progress next year.
Hopefully this reaches the masses. I mean, we know it will. This will go viral very quickly, but when they hear our great ideas, we will fix the Hall of Fame voting in baseball. But until then, you can check out our Friday episode, The 5-Minute Friday, with me and John Hayes, or recap on Monday with Sam Northern and myself. But Pat, thank you very much, and we look forward to having you on again.
Hey, you know, it was an honor being on here. Finally getting to hit the airwaves a little bit, spread some of my ideas. It's always a good time.
Yeah, let the people hear your voice and get an idea for you. But we will see everybody on Friday.